if there's an underlying theme in both of these Gospels, it is that what is common is not despicable. Naaman, you know, was shocked. Go and wash in your lousy little Jordan. I mean, I thought you were going to do something. And you see, just before this, the text we have right now in the Gospel, you see, it was a question of our Lord saying, there's somebody here now. You know, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And they were. They challenged him. You've done all these wonders in Capernaum and Naim and all that. Why don't you do right here in your own city, you know? And then our Lord picks up with this. No prophet is accepted. Now, as I was praying, I thought, you see, the theme in a way is below the themes that are obvious is the theme of understanding what seems to be common. So I'm going to talk as far as I get time about baptism. The Jews did have a rite. It was called a proselyte baptism. It was a mikvah. Converts coming in, that was one of the steps. Okay? Now, John, a prophet, had instructions from God to take that rite and apply it to all of Israel. Everybody come and accept their vocation to be a real Israelite, to be a real Jew. Because you're not living like real Jews. You're worshiping all kinds of gods. You're immoral. This is the call to repentance, to prepare the way for the Messiah. There's one coming after me, he says. And so they went and underwent this conversion rite under John's instruction and ministry. So then our Lord comes along, and he too wants to ratify his vocation. His vocation is to give his life as a ransom for the many. So when he goes down into those waters, sinks down below the water, because they're in the Jordan, you know, and he is accepting death. Death to redeem the human race. That's what he's doing. Now he's accepted, because I too am an Israelite, and I should accept my vocation, well, my vocation, as the eternal Son of God, and now as a member of the Jewish race, I must accept my vocation. So he came to do that. That's why the voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," because he always does my will. And so baptism is always a commitment to death. But to share in the death of Christ. It always is. Now the Lord made that gesture efficacious. He acts when there's a baptism. And you have that beautiful thing we'll be reading later in Romans 6. We who are baptized, you know the rest, right? We're baptized into his death. We die to sin and live to God. And the Lord Christ begins to dwell in us. Now, the first reading is to get the catechumens ready, because they're all excited about this, and they found out, I'm just going to be plunged in water and taken out again. That's all I'm going to do. And that's going to work this. So, well, what about happened to Naaman? You see, so the story is to alert people that if this is the way God wants it, it will be efficacious. And this is the way God wants it. And that's why we get a chance at the Paschal Vigil to renew our own baptism. I renew my vocation to be a Christian, to die with Christ, and to live with Christ. That's what I'm doing. It's not a ceremony like, you know, the Boy Scouts or something. It brings us back to that moment when we, probably as children, you know, were committed to Christ and began to share his death. But we have to ratify that. And that's why the church wants us to start reflecting and not be like Naaman. I mean, a little water, or there we go, we say these words. Well, we can say these words and they have mean nothing. And they, you know, that's possible. But it's not why we get 40 days to get ready. Is to celebrate this Paschal Vigil. That is to enter once more, much more deeply into the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can see what a fight it has to be to keep the liturgy real. I remember I used to sit in on the classes of, later Cardinal Meyer. He was a Benedictine over at, they were great liturgists, as you know. And he was saying, what has happened, lecturing all in Latin in those days, our sacraments are not just signs, they're signum signi, they're signs of signs. We don't come with faith, they're not done well, the music is distracting, whatever, you know. It's not this promise. And so you see, this baptism, and that's why the Baptist says, you see, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And in that, saying that, he's alluding to that whole theme in the Old Testament, where God promises that at this moment, when he completes all his promises to Israel, he will pour out the Spirit. Oh, you can find them, you know, all over the place. There's Isaiah 44, Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31, Joel 3. One of the ways of describing the moment when God makes good on all his promises is to say that he pours out the Spirit. So John says, you see, I'm baptizing you, but there's one coming after. Who is the one who will pour out the Spirit, who will baptize you in the Spirit. And all God's promises will be fulfilled in you. But it has to be conscious. So as time goes on, the culture wears us down. And the sacraments become ceremonies. Not in God's eyes, but in our capacity to enter into them. You see? And so now, what the Lord has done, starting with the beginning of the 20th century, you know, is pour out this grace to make us aware of what we have been given in baptism and its confirming sacrament. And we call it, the early people who experienced this called it the baptism in the Spirit. It's a good term, but what it is bringing to life on a conscious level what the culture has snuffed out of us. That is a living awareness of what it means to be baptized, to be joined, to be one physically with the Lord Christ, to be part of his body, to be part of the church. And so, and now you can see, we're going to get closer to it because everybody else is starting to hate us, you know. So it's a tough way to come back to consciousness, but I guess it's better than nothing. There was an ad in the New York Times yesterday inviting people to quit the Catholic Church. Yeah. Hello. I mean, that's, we have to pray and pray for our enemy. It might have been a feminist ad because it was how the church suppresses women and all that stuff. So I have to end with this. I should have ended a little while ago. John Paul II has a memorable phrase: a faith which does not become culture, that is a way of life, a way of consciousness, a way of awareness, a way of life, a faith which does not become culture is a faith which has not been fully received, completely lived out, or thoroughly thought through. And that faith, you know, the sacrament of that faith is baptism. So we shouldn't be like Naaman and just say, you know, we should be like all those people and like Jesus himself, who went down into those waters to accept his vocation as an Israelite, to be the Son of Man, to be the servant of God, to be the Savior of the world. So let's stand and pray.